Welcome in. It's time for Mile High Magazine, and this is Murphy Houston. Happy Sunday to everybody. And joining me this morning is Megan Shea, the Executive Director of STEP. And Megan, welcome to Mile High Magazine.
Thank you. It's great to be with you this morning.
Well, of course, right away I've got to ask, for those that don't know, what is STEP Denver? What is that?
Well, we are a men's addiction recovery program. We're actually a residential program for primarily homeless men who are suffering the disease of addiction. So we give them the time and a structured sober living environment to be able to achieve lasting sobriety, but also to rebuild every aspect of their life from the ground up that has been destroyed as a result of their addiction. So we're helping them get full-time employment, learn how to budget and manage their finances, rebuild family relationships, restore some of their health issues, and really just to become productive, contributing, healthy members of the community and their families again. And we help about just shy of 400 men each year exit homelessness and be able to become contributing members of the community.
You said 400 men each year? That's a lot.
Yes. Yes, it is. And the outcomes are more than double the national average. So we are really, you know, we feel that we have a model here that works. We've been doing this for 40 years.
Wow.
The program that exists today is really about 9 years old, though. So we've done a lot over the past, decade to really build in some components of the life skills pieces and things that really are necessary for someone who's lost everything to be able to build the skills and experience that they need to be able to sustain whatever they rebuild over time. So men are in our program for anywhere from 4 to 6 months, so sometimes up to 2 years, depending on the individual and how much time they need to put those pieces back together. And we know that the longer they stay in our program, the more successful they are long-term after they leave. So we try to give them the time that they need. You know, these things, they didn't land in this position overnight, and it's going to take some time for a lot of these men to be able to overcome all of those challenges they've got in their background.
Wow. 40 years, though, Megan, and really, we're just kind of hearing about you now?
Well, some people might know us as Step 13. That was our name for the first 30 years.
Yeah, thus I do recognize.
So, so some people might know us as Step 13. We changed our name to Step Denver, really, you know, for a couple of reasons. But one of them was we know this model works. We know that there are communities who need a program like ours. We've been hearing that for a long time. And so our plan is to take this model into other communities. We're in the process of opening one in Colorado Springs, which would be called Step Springs. And we see this as being something that can really be replicated and brought to communities that are really experiencing a gap in this area. There's a lot of services that have components of what we do, but not applied in the same way. We've got four core principles: sobriety, work, accountability, and community. And so oftentimes you'll see programs that have pieces of that are doing great work. But we know that we've got a model here that produces real outcomes for the people we serve. And so we're doing all that we can to replicate it and bring it to other communities.
Well, for those that do know, as you were Step, as you mentioned before, what have you changed? You mentioned earlier in our conversation kind of changed your plan a few years ago. What changes did you make?
The primary change was providing actual programming to help people in these key areas. So historically, Step was sort of a transitional housing program. Men who were homeless, who were suffering the disease of addiction, could come in, and it was sort of this model of, you know, stay sober and go get a job.
Yeah.
And there was no career center, no career counseling, no life skills programming, no 12-step addiction recovery education, none of the, you know, nutrition and dental care and family reconciliation and all of these, you know, life skills around relapse prevention and building coping skills that are going to help you maintain your sobriety long term. So there were all of these pieces that, you know, were technically our core principles. We had, you know, sobriety, work, accountability, and community as our core principles, but there wasn't a whole lot of programming to support that.
Uh-huh.
And so our CEO, who actually was homeless in Denver for 2 years himself because of his addiction, had that lived experience. And so he was brought in to build a program to address each of those areas that the men have experienced, severe destruction in each of these areas of their life because of their addiction, and to be able to overcome those consequences through the programming and life skills pieces that we're teaching them. So there are a couple of things that make STEP unique. One is we're a peer recovery program. So 17 of our 22 employees are alumni of STEP. who went through the program as residents, gone on to, you know, have success in their life and have come back to work for us as full-time employees to help the men who are following their footsteps. And the other piece is, because our men are working full-time taxing jobs in the community, which we help them get through the Career Center, every day they're out there engaged and participating in society and putting into practice in real time what they're learning in our programming every day. So they go out, they engage in the world, they face stress, temptation, you know, plenty of opportunities to use or drink again. Sure. They come home sober, convincing themselves another day, maybe I can actually do this. And then in the evening, they participate in all of our programming. So they're able to every day go out and put into practice what they're learning in real time and start to develop, I think, a belief within themselves that they can actually do it.
So it's, as we say, they walk the talk.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Yes, that's exactly right.
Well, good for them. Now, are these family guys, any of them family? Are they all homeless or from all walks of life?
From all walks of life, but primarily homeless. So 1% of the men who came to us last year had stable housing when they came to us. So some of the men are, you know, not quite in that state yet, but they're on the verge because of the things that are starting to crumble around them because of their addiction. 46% of our men actually were sort of couch surfing. So they had a place to stay. They weren't technically on the street, but they didn't have any address in their name, and it was sort of just figuring out whose couch they could stay on that night or maybe even living in their car. And then 53% of our men were actually on the street homeless. So that's kind of the makeup of the people who came to us last year. So
sure.
That's the primary population. We always say we're sort of the last house on the block for a lot of these guys. They've got, you know, criminal backgrounds in some cases, large gaps in their employment history, and they reach that state of desperation and finally, you know, reach a state of willingness and readiness to do whatever it takes. And that's when they find themselves calling us and walking through our door. We provide same-day admission, no cost to enter. We're not billing insurance. We're not billing Medicaid. If you are ready and willing, come on in. All those barriers that exist for so many people seeking treatment, seeking help with addiction, do not exist here. And so we really pride ourselves on that easy, quick access for men who are ready because we know the courage that it takes to make that call.
Oh, I guess so. But how do these homeless guys find out about you?
Well, a variety of ways. We are doing a lot of outreach to detoxes, shelters, the jail, probation, parole. A lot of times it's from family members who hear about us or, in some cases, word of mouth on the street.
Sure.
So I've heard cases of, there was one gentleman who came in and he said, I'm going to sound crazy right now, but I was out there getting high and I was telling the guy I was getting high with, you should go to Step Denver. because he wanted to come here and he finally made it through our doors. But he said it was really hard, you know, to finally get through those doors because there's so much out there on the street and it's also accessible. And he said, I just kept getting high and I wanted to come here so badly. And finally, he just gave away everything that he had and made it into the program. But sometimes people see us on TV. We do a lot of outreach and marketing to try to reach people across the community. So we're on the side of buses and we're on the radio and we do TV ads and we try to really kind of saturate this community as much as we can. And I just met a gentleman who saw our TV commercial, landed in detox, told another guy who was in detox with him about Step, and they came in the same day.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So you just never know. And we just try to reach people in every way that we can.
So we're talking to Megan Shea, the executive director of Step. And here's kind of a sidelight, since you deal so much with the homeless situation here in our community, Megan. Why do you think the homeless program is growing so much in our community? It seems so big all of a sudden.
Well, the challenge that we face is we're sitting here with, you know, a 60-bed facility on Larimer Street, right in the heart of all of it. We've got five sober living homes that each house six sober living homes that each house five men. So at any given time, we've got 90 beds that can serve men who are suffering and homeless in our community. And we are never full. We never have a waiting list. And we have actually seen since October a significant dip in our census since the city started putting people in hotel rooms. And we see this actually with our other peer providers who are doing great work as well. None of them are full. On average, every month, we call 43 different organizations and find out what their bed availability is. And on average, all of these no-cost providers have about 85% capacity, and so or are operating at 85% capacity. So they've got beds all over this community. The issue that we're facing right now is we have made it an easier path for people to remain trapped in the cycle of their addiction. And so when we are offering a program that can actually help someone rebuild their life, but it requires them to be accountable and to show up and to put in the effort in their own life to be able to overcome their addiction and the circumstances that they find themselves in, that option is less appealing to someone who is trapped in that cycle of addiction than being able to go stay in a hotel and continue using and have all of my basic needs met.
Sure.
Why would I choose to this other path, right? We're all going to choose the path of least resistance, unfortunately. And
yeah.
So what we're seeing and struggling with as providers in this community is that Denver has stripped away all of those key motivators that drive someone towards accepting help. We're providing free tents and propane tanks and all the food that you need and,
sure.
getting money on the streets, and the drugs are very cheap and accessible. And so there's no risk of legal consequence, right? You can
right.
be openly using drugs and you know you're not going to get arrested and nothing's going to come of it. And so all of these key motivators that typically, historically, have driven people to finally seek help and accept help that's available, our community is stripping those away. And we, as providers, are really struggling to get people to choose help.
Sure.
As opposed to choosing the path of free housing with no expectation accountability. So it's a tough landscape right now.
Oh, I'll bet it is. But the impact Step Denver's making on these men and probably the community has got to be huge.
It's unbelievable. We actually, our outcomes are pretty tremendous, and I think it's due to all those things that we just talked about. But the follow-ups, we follow up with our men at 9 different intervals over the first 12 months after they leave our program. And last year, we were able to reach 73% of them, and our 3-year average outcomes are that 80% are still sober, 84% are still employed, and 91% are still independently housed, paying for their own housing. And so we see that this works. The challenge is getting people in the door and getting them to choose that help. The other key here is the economic impact. So we actually, we know that every time we bring someone in off the street into our program, we're saving the community. According to HUD, the cost per homeless individual to a community is $40,000 a year.
Wow.
Obviously in Denver, we know they're spending much more than that on a hotel room alone. So we know it's more than that in Denver, but we just use that HUD number. So we know we're saving $40,000. The average salary for men in our program is $49,000 a year. And so we look at that as an $89,000 opportunity cost. We take that number and multiply it by those we contact after they leave the program in that first year. How many are still employed and still independently housed? Last year, we had a $12.2 million economic impact, and our expenses were $2.4
million.
Wow. So we're spending $2.4 million to serve almost 400 men. With those kind of outcomes, it's very cost-effective.
Yes.
And because we see this works, you know, we don't take any government funding. We're entirely funded through philanthropy, individuals, corporate partners, private foundations. And so we have no skin in the game, no stake in how the city spends the dollars that they're allocating.
Sure.
But we do obviously care deeply about having solutions, real solutions for our community. We're doing all we can to try to share our message, share the philosophies and the approach modalities that work, with the hopes that the city might adopt some of those and be able to see real results with the dollars that are being spent.
Well, Megan, quickly now, before I have to let you go here, how can people reach out for help? You must have a website, some way they can get involved to help you out.
We sure do. It's stepdenver.org, O-R-G, stepdenver.org. We've got a virtual tour on the homepage that people can see the virtual tour of our facility. We've got, of course, some stories from some of our men on there, information about the program. And for those who are really passionate about this and want to invest in, frankly, people who are willing to invest in themselves and want to be a part of the solution, they can also donate on our website as well. And
good.
Like I said, we are entirely dependent on individuals who step up to support our men at the time they are most vulnerable and give them the chance to have the dignity and self-respect and self-esteem that's built by becoming a productive member of their community. So all of those things, whether someone needs help or they want to help, stepdenver.org.
Megan, keep up the good work. Megan Shea, Executive Director of Step Denver. Gosh, I'm glad we got the word out. Keep up what you're doing. It's very helpful and needed.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We're so grateful to get this word out and appreciate you giving us the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys, too, thank you for listening to Mile High Magazine. I'm Murphy Houston. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.